This is Health Dose, a podcast from My Michigan Health focusing on different issues related to your health. Dr. Andrew Victor specializes in family medicine and sees patients at My Michigan Health Park Birch Run. Dr. Victor is a competitive athlete who not only enjoys participating in his own activities, but being actively involved with his patients and their success as athletes. Today, we will be talking about what is important for the overall health of our student athletes. And so, Dr. Victor, thanks so much for taking time today. Let's start out by simply asking, what are some of the primary health issues that are facing our student athletes today?
Thanks for having me. Appreciate coming out and talking a little bit about this. Like you said, I know some bit about sports. I wouldn't call myself a true sports specialist. We have lots of those within our network, but I'm a good, at least starting point. And like you said, getting to your question about student athletes and what kind of stuff they're facing, I think the big three that we worry about is obviously one, staying healthy and how to avoid getting hurt. So that's injuries, nutrition, and what people forget about a lot, especially from a student standpoint, is sleep, which is pretty underrated.
So let's spend a little bit of time on each of those and I guess what you see in athletes and what they suffer from in each of those three spaces specifically.
So when it comes to athletes in general, from high school through college to getting into pros, I mean, I don't know how many people are familiar with the statistics about everything, but talk about high school athletes, about 2% of those are going to make it into college and play at the D1 level. So that's 2 out of 100 kids at a high school are going to play in college. And then from your college kids, another 2% of those may make it to the pros, whether that's MLB, NBA, you know, Diamond League, track and field, whatever you want to call it, NFL, that's another 2 out of 100 of our college athletes are getting to that level. So statistically, I'm not here to break kids' dreams, but it's a long road, and it's a long road filled with injuries. You interview any high school or college athlete, 90% of them statistically have dealt with some type of injury, whether it's career ending or having to rehab something. So even at a young age, that's what kind of gets in the way of a lot of people. So the focus, just like in medicine, is on prevention and trying to stay healthy and get on top of those things. From an injury standpoint, there's lots of things that we can do once you're injured to get you back into the game and onto the field. But the other side of it is the nutrition and the sleep, which is underrated. Sleep, like I said, most kids in school are probably not getting enough sleep. It's a very common complaint in high school or even in college, and that comes down to sleep habits or, you know, working through schoolwork and those kind of things. But if you look at people, even like LeBron James, on game days, he has a 2-hour mandatory nap pre-game. And like, that's the one thing besides all of the recovery he goes through and the different ways to heal his body, the one thing that you get for free that actually has the biggest impact is sleep. That's what your body needs to recover mentally, physically, keep up with your reflexes. Sleep is a big focus that I feel like gets left behind, and I try to kind of emphasize that with my patients too. But so that's one side of it. Nutrition is the other side too, but I think sleep, and then on the injury side, getting through things and not ignoring pains and trying to get on top of them early goes a long way.
He's Dr. Andrew Victor, specializing in family medicine, seeing patients at My Michigan Health Park Birch Run, talking today about caring for our athletes. So those three pillars that we start with, health issues facing student athletes, sleep, nutrition, injuries, how big is mental health becoming in that space too, as like a fourth pillar of a challenge for athletes right now?
Absolutely. If you look at college teams and NFL as well too, almost every team nowadays, whatever sport you're in at the pro level, has a team psychiatrist or team counselor that has these one-on-one meetings with different athletes on the team, whether that's European soccer level, whether that's, like I said, with football, NBA. It's an important dedicated part of their training regimen, and it's kind of built into their schedules, and that's at the pro level. So the earlier we kind of start these conversations and kind of address them, I'm not saying every high school team needs to have like a therapist on staff or anything like that, but that's kind of our role as well as a primary care, being that kind of one-stop shop where you can not be afraid to have those conversations, your regular visits with your doctor, your yearly checkup when you're an otherwise healthy kid. Part of dealing with mental health challenges in athletes is recognizing signs and concerns from a coaching standpoint, from a parenting standpoint. If, you know, your child or your athlete may be at risk for something, what comes along with anxiety and pressure situations is when you don't meet those expectations or those goals, you can run into things like depression, kind of shutting down. A lot of those signs and symptoms are, you know, less talkative, kind of staying in your room, less motivated to get out and do things, which I know is hard to differentiate from a normal teenager or those kind of moods, but those are kind of high risk signs. that you want to at least address or not ignore. And then we don't need to get into kind of the extremes of that situation where that can come in too, but with expectation and pressure comes, you know, letdowns and failures, and having a good mental background, or at least not being afraid to address these topics, I think are important and should be at least freely talked about, both with your physician, with the coaches, with your parents.
And this may be a little broad, but what are some of the most common injuries that you're seeing in student athletes and athletes in general that you're treating right now? And then how do you kind of troubleshoot that space?
I think it depends on the season, right? Different sports happen through the year. And so we get to see different injuries right now in the fall. Obviously, football is going on. And the number one thing that I see probably in the office is concussion. Concussions come a long way in terms of, again, like awareness and recognizing signs and symptoms. And I feel like it's getting taken a lot more seriously than it ever did before. Once upon a time, you know, we used to talk about getting your bell rung and, you know, you get over it and get back out there. But all of those bell ringers were concussions once upon a time. And so I think schools and the therapists and trainers out there are better at recognizing those and getting them into the office to see a healthcare provider like us, where we can go through the steps to return them to play in an appropriate time frame. What I like to do and like to follow, and I know that our sports therapists up in Saginaw do the same, is we'll follow the NCAA protocol for a concussion and return to play. And so it's very structured. We're not just kind of doing things off the cuff here. And we're not ignoring anyone's signs or symptoms. It could be something as little as lack of concentration, nausea, headaches, you know, light sensitivity. All those things kind of play into this, and we kind of score them and grade them and make sure they can safely return back to play. Now, like I said, from common standpoints, what I like to see and handle, because I have the ability to take x-rays in office, I see a lot of limb injuries, whether that's wrist, knee, ankle, shoulder. Those are all pretty standard ones that we do here a lot of the time. Depending on the severity of the injury, we can just kind of brace it, splint it, wash and wait, and kind of get you through it. But every now and then, if there's something more serious, especially with student athletes and younger kids, we'd like to get them in with a specialist so that they can be followed properly and have appropriate rehab to get them back on the field sooner. So, you know, I have personal experience with this. I've torn both of my ACLs in the past few years, and I've seen doctors within our system. So I've been a patient of it. I know what we go through. I've had two reconstructions. So I've lived it with us. And so I know what it takes and how to recognize these things. And I definitely trust, you know, our system. And when I get to see these kind of patients, I do as much as I can here for them before we move on to the next steps.
So on the flip side of common injuries that you just spoke of right there, what are some of the more serious health concerns and events that you might come across in your practice and athletes may encounter?
Serious health events, we're talking about life-altering or career-ending type of injuries. As a young student athlete, whether that's high school or college, we're better at recovering in general. You know, as you get older, you can't play those weekend-long tournaments and play multiple games over that. So recovery is a lot of it too. But from an injury standpoint, it's kind of the repetitive concussions are probably the most serious we think about. When I talk about this, we only have one brain, and so there's no kind of backup for that. And I say the same speech for our backs. Spine injuries are very tough to deal with. You have one back, and if you injure that back, it can kind of, a lot of people suffer from lower back pain. It's one of the common, just regular healthcare chronic injuries that we see in the world, whether I'm not even talking about athletes or not. It's just what people end up with is back pain. So those are ones that, you know, we want to stay on top of and make sure we're not injuring those things or trying to play sports that won't aggravate those as well. So I'd say brain and spine are the two big ones. We've got two arms, we've got two legs, lots of everything else. So people can adapt over time, but from a serious standpoint, I think those are the ones that we can't miss. And there's certain muscular injuries that need surgery earlier than later, and those things we try not to ignore either.
So you spoke right there about what I would consider like a seasonal injury, concussions with football players this time of year. Are there other seasonal injuries that you see more frequently throughout the calendar?
Definitely. So a lot of these will happen in the summer months when we're playing outside or playing under hot conditions. We worry about things like heat stroke, which can happen to anyone along the age spectrum. But obviously, we're here focusing on our student athletes. The number one thing for this is hydration. There was a time people would purposely dehydrate themselves to build up stamina, and it was a sign of endurance. And we've learned over time that the data doesn't support that. Hydration is the most important thing. We see all the commercials for Gatorades and Powerades and electrolytes, but hydration is what your body needs to keep all of its cells functioning, putting out energy, giving you the ability to play at your highest level. And that's our number one prevention for heat stroke, obviously outside of staying in the sun. So recognizing the warning signs of that, which is nausea, seeing spots, you know, tunnel vision, those kind of what we call pre-syncopal, lightheaded type of I'm about to pass out feelings, is to recognize those things, to not try to power through those moments. And the best thing you can do when you have that is actually to take a knee, sit down, get away from a full standing position so that your heart doesn't have to work as hard to circulate the blood around your body. Get into a cool area, get hydration going again, and hopefully you can recover from them, because when those moments happen and you do, you know, end up passing out or overheating, it can really wipe you out for longer than you think it would before you feel like you're back to yourself.
We've talked about kind of like the serious injuries, things that athletes face from a health concern standpoint. How do you talk to athletes and encourage them to maintain healthy habits and make sure that they don't have to come in and see you with an injury?
For sure. And we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the conversation, about prevention more than just dealing with injuries. Prevention is huge. I'm a big proponent of stretching and essentially daily stretching. Flexibility is something that we lose over time as we get older. Flexibility gives you the ability to bounce back from an injury when you take a tackle or overextend yourself or hyperextend yourself. If you're flexible enough to handle those limits of your range, chances are you're probably not going to get injured and you can recover from them a little bit quicker than a typical person who's not used to falling a little bit awkwardly or doing something weird with their hands. So I focus on flexibility. I focus on, obviously, strength training. And like we talked about before, sleep. Sleep is the best recovery for you. You talk about athletes that do it to cold plunges and hyperbaric chambers and all these fancy, therapies and treatments. And those are all great and those all work. But like I said, nothing replaces sleep. Nothing is going to change that. And that's what your body needs from a mental standpoint, a mental health standpoint, and just an overall body recovery standpoint. So those are kind of my focuses.
One thing I'm sure you deal with a lot is typical sports physical check-ins. And so how important are those and why should folks not overlook those?
So sports physicals are very important because there's another condition that I haven't thought about or talked about yet, which is something called sudden cardiac death. They always get popular in the news when something happens because it's something serious that happens, which is an athlete that dies suddenly on the field or on the ice or their heart stops. That's sudden cardiac death. It's a condition that has a relative genetic component to it, but can still show up in people. And there's no good way to look for it outside of us doing these sports physicals. So that's one big thing that's life-changing and extremely serious that we need to catch at these sports physicals, which is where we do a full top-down assessment, heart, lungs, abdomen, muscle strength, tone check. We do specific movements and flexibility testing. We call it a duck walk, you know, hopping, jumping, those kind of things, where we assess for range of motion and make sure that our athletes are able to perform the duties that they need to do. And it's when we're also able to review their medical history. If there's a family history of this cardiac disease or the sudden cardiac death, if there's a reason that we need to go looking for something, we pick up on murmurs, pick up on blood pressure issues. So it shouldn't be a scary thing for kids or parents to come into, because we're not trying to prevent anyone from playing their sports. We want them to just do it safely. And with all of these conditions, even something like sudden cardiac death, when you get in with a specialist, there's a risk benefit, there's a risk stratification, and there's ways that we can get you back on the field, even with life-altering conditions, that we can do safely. So those are things that are important from a sports physical standpoint. Most of the time, things are fine, but it's just good to have covered for you year to year.
Again, a special thank you to Dr. Andrew Victor on this edition of Health Dose, a podcast from My Michigan Health focusing on different issues related to your health. Dr. Victor currently sees patients at My Michigan Health Park in Birch Run and is open and currently taking new patients specifically for primary care or athletes of all ages. As always, if you have health concerns, you should check in with your primary care provider. If you need help finding a primary care provider, go to mymichigan.org/doctors.